Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we've got a special patron guest. Jeremy's joining us. We'll introduce him in just a moment here. We've also got Rogue One news. Gareth Edwards, actually. He's explaining the title, The Prequels Strike Back. And we've got all kinds of exclusive Dragon Con updates for you guys. Let's do it right now.
Falcon Flight with Destiny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 237. Welcome, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Boy, howdy. We got a great show for you. And I couldn't be more excited to have this show for you guys this week. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Seriously, good morning.
Good morning. Nice of you guys to drop by.
I think that's how it goes. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, I don't even... It's been far too long since we used the full Monty, the full Falcons Fly with Destiny version of the intro. And I just felt like, for some reason, episode 237 deserved it. Don't you think so, Mr. Mark Herleman?
Well, short help is better than no help at all. Or... case long song is better than no song at all. Hey everybody, how's it going? Good to be here.
How's life, man?
It's go man. Yeah. We got a big 46,000 square foot haunted house, and we just are putting walls up, and have been doing the last 4 days. Just go.
Are you guys already preparing for Halloween? Is that a thing? Is this already happening?
Yeah, well, see, we didn't do the haunted house last year, but the people that gave us this is a Cormark building, which is like a distributor building, and it's the same people that gave us our haunted house building 2 years before that, which was an antique store on our downtown 6th Street, and this building has been empty for the last 4 years, so they were like, we tried selling it last year, it didn't work, so we're giving it to you guys.
Nice. Well, let me tell you, man, like, you guys don't understand. Mark's a big horror guy, but also, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, long-time listeners know, but prepare yourselves for a lot of great stories around the time of Halloween on the podcast here, as Mark recounts his times terrifying children for some Boy Scouts. Oh, man. Yeah, we've got a jam-packed show for you guys. Let's not dilly-dally anymore. I want to bring him in. He's a fine patron supporter of us here, and that's why he's on the program this week. Mr. Jeremy Burtz, how's it going, Jeremy?
Very good, very good. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Yeah. It's an honor to be here.
I'm excited, and it's a good week to be on because we've got all kinds of news and rumors, and of course, this is the big pregame show for Dragon Con. Like, we're good Lord. I looked at the notes prepared by our fine producer Bruce Gibson, and just the sheer amount of panels between me, Bethany, and Bruce that we're going to be on or hosting or preparing or participating in one way or another, it's insane. We're going to get into all of that, but let's not delay any. Let's get straight into the news.
We have something to report.
Data, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
We have Rogue One updates, ladies and gentlemen. The countdown continues. We are now less than, how far are we? 4 months? 5 months? 4 months? I think it's 4 months. 4 months! Until Rogue One hits theaters. And we've had the trailers. The marketing is in full swing. But we actually have a new update from Gareth Edwards that's been making the rounds a lot this week. In fact... It's one that's kind of odd for me, Mark. I'm not going to lie. This is an interview that Gareth Edwards had where he's attempting to explain the Rogue One title, like why this movie's actually called Rogue One. And so in the interview with Empire Magazine, he said, quote, "I've been thinking about it What does it mean? Rogue One is a military call sign to some extent, but this is the first film that's gone off and not a part of the saga or the Anakin story. So it's, you know, the Rogue One, you know, question mark.
Oh, my tongue is pushing so hard through my cheek. It almost ripped out the other side.
Mark, give me your thoughts on this. Like, what is this? Is he just now considering what the meaning of the movie title is?
Yeah, I kind of feel like there is a little bit of that because, like, I don't know, like, it's the Rogue One, you know, like that works, but that's about all that really works. Like, I was hoping for, I don't know, like a ship sign, because I remember when we saw that.
All right, there we go. Brief technical difficulty, guys. Skype, you know when Skype just auto updates without telling you? Well, that's what just happened. Sorry, Mark, you were saying.
Well, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. Like he continues talking about their split meanings, and he feels like he's made the right choice. But aside from the whole Rogue One angle, I don't know if he did. I mean, we saw the German toy fair or whatever they had. It had spelled out Rogue One with the numerical number, not O-N-E. I was thinking, well, maybe it was a ship title. But it doesn't kind of, you know, from all the trailers and stuff, that doesn't seem to be the case. So I'm waiting to see what these split multiple meanings are. Because right now I really feel like it's like over here where I'm living in Josephine County where, hey, the Rogue River runs through here. Let's name it the Rogue Wilderness. And let's name it the Rogue Valley. And let's name this the Rogue this.
But
the Rogue
Mark,
that.
To be fair, with your screen name, you are a little biased.
I know. I am. So I kind of like. I kind of feel like he's just like taken from me. I don't know.
Let me ask.
I don't know. I don't think it's that. I just think it's too tongue in cheek to be anything more. Like I'm hoping the multiple meanings have some relevance.
Let me ask you, Jeremy. Does Rogue One, like the title, need to have a significance in the film? Does that need to mean something for you to appreciate the title, or can they just does it just sound cool? Is that good enough?
I think it has to mean something. Like it could be.
Yeah.
Mean us. Go by a certain character.
Yeah, like a call sign. I think it'd be cool, I think, like if it was Jyn Erso, like she earned the call sign at the end of the movie. Even something like that I think would be pretty cool.
Rogue Squadron. Like if, you know, instead of Rogue Squadron being how it was in Legends, we're seeing Rogue Squadron take a more Wraith Squadron look in canon.
Let me show my ignorance a little bit, Mark, because I think you would know this more than I would. So Rogue Squadron, I only remember from the speeder in Empire Strikes Back that went searching for Luke and Han. And he's like, this is Rogue 2. I found them. Repeat. I found them. He just wanted to make sure everybody knew who found them. It was Rogue 2. Did you guys catch that? I found them.
What was that again?
The deuce, man.
That guy was so proud of himself. He's like, I found the hero of the first battle of the Death Star. That's right, me. Y'all jokers want to know who saved Luke Skywalker? Rogue 2. That's right. I distract myself. But Mark, so what else is Rogue Squadron known for? I'm trying to remember.
Well, in Legends, it was Red Squadron became Rogue Squadron down the road.
Okay.
When we watch A New Hope, that really was Rogue Squadron's like kind of first mission together.
Okay, I gotcha.
And that's where, you know, Luke and Wedge got credit together for it. Although, I want to say we've already got some new shifting to that with the Marvel Star Wars comic. We've already seen how Rogue Squadron is starting to shape up in there.
Yeah.
That isn't to say that this could be what sets that into motion. You know, I mean, literally what we see in A New Hope comes on the heels of this film. So the ragtag mission of Rogues could be what inspires the later Rogues.
Yeah, maybe. There's a little bit of
thing about Rogues in the Legends universe was that they were supposed to be the elite team that, you know, I mean, and there were multiple times where they had more than one Rogue Squadron out there to baffle the Empire. So maybe we'll see something along those lines.
I would be 100% up for that. The story went on to say, again, quoting Gareth Edwards, he says, quote, it's kind of like describing her as well in a similar way, speaking of course of Jyn Erso. It has all these split multiple meanings that make it feel like the right choice. So really, if we go with Gareth's word, I don't think, Jeremy, I hate to say this, but going off of what Gareth Edwards is saying here, I don't think we're going to get like a specific reason for why Rogue One is the title. It's just going to be kind of something that means different things depending on who you are as a fan. Of course, Gareth Edwards may not... I mean, it's kind of unfortunate to joke about, but maybe Gareth Edwards doesn't really know that much about what the final film's going to look like, evidently, with the amount of restructuring they're doing. That's all rumors, though. I still think that the core of the film's Gareth Edwards' film. But let's, speaking of Rogue One, let's dig into some toy news, because what are they calling this Rogue Friday that they're going to be doing pretty soon? Jedi Temple Archives has some new images of some of the toys that are going to be released in concert with in concert with Rogue One coming up very soon. In fact, guys, expect the marketing to really start to crank up on this film, and of course a big part of that's the toys. Mark, did you do the whole... Did you do anything for Force Friday last
year?
Yeah,
I did. I find this is like kind of funny because it's totally like Star Wars to title something and then title it again. Uh-huh. Like this thing talks about, you know, released as part of this year's Force Friday event, which they've dubbed Rogue Friday. Like, you know, Star Wars, Force Friday. Star Wars, Force Friday.
Force Friday.
Force Friday. Yeah, Friday. I did go down. I took advantage of a lot of that stuff. I remember watching. That was when I was at the, you know, they did the whole unveil, pulling the back the pallets and stuff. And I was on one side. And the guys on the other side went total, like, this is it, Apocalypse Now style. Kill them all. Screw them all. We got to take care of ourselves and no one else. While us on the other side, we're all playing British. Like, do you want some tea and some crumpets? Do you want some sugar with that? Okay. But, well, I got some more over here if you like some. And. Yeah, we'd get over to the other side and we'd just realize that the Vikings had hit the other side completely. So there was like no Black Series of the big size.
You're not, Mark, you're not even selling it well enough. Let me tell you guys, like, I talked to Mark after that night and he's like, yeah, man, it was veritable pirates and Vikings swarming the back of the store, barreling through, shoving children aside, and saying,
"The Pirates Deviant song came in.
Arg, give me your 6-inch Black Series. Arg." Jeremy, were you one of those people who got the screwed
No, because I was working, and okay. I just got off work, went over to Walmart, and they had all the 6-inch figures there.
Oh, nice. So you're one of the lucky ones. I did not participate because that was during Dragon Con. That was the Friday of Dragon Con, and there's a big like toy run party that happened during Dragon Con, but I didn't get to participate. But there was, there was a very limited supply last year, so I've heard a lot of...
I'm kind of surprised that no toy stores or somebody like Think Geek set up a Force Friday thing in the middle of Dragon Con. That seems kind of like a dropped opportunity.
Oh, dude, yeah. No, that would have been a brilliant idea. Although, I guess that's the thing about Dragon Con. It's almost always like official licensees are usually not there. It's usually like third-party sellers and stuff in the dealer rooms. But exactly. So speaking of which, we do have the Rogue Friday coming up, and some of the toys have been revealed by Jedi Temple Archives. I'm not again, guys. As you know, I'm not the biggest collector, but I am excited at some of these. In fact, Mark, I'll have you like pick out your favorite. Like, what of these really jumps out to you most as far as the Rogue One?
The odd thing jumps out right out the gate, and that's the fact that there is a Star Wars app attached to the packaging. I was like, wait, well, wait. What? There's an app coming with this too?
Like, wait, for what? I must have missed this.
Know. It doesn't say. I'm not seeing anything in the advertisement. Just there on the top,
there's
the app with the arrow. It says +6. I know my son's been playing a new game to collect characters from across the spectrum of eras. So I'm wondering if maybe that has something to do with it. When I look at these, I think the one that really gets me, I don't know, like the size wise, I'm still kind of hesitant on. I like the look of the X-Wing feel to the Y or U-Wing. It seems smaller, but I know that it's supposed to be a troop transport. So like when I look at it, I see an X-Wing.
Yeah.
But I know I'm really looking at a Lambda class type shuttle. You know, like this thing's supposed to be pretty dang big. So like I don't know how the toy's proportion is going to work out, but that Andor character looks pretty dang tight. I mean, I'm not a fan of the 5-point articulation, and it seems like that's back in full force right now. So I think for me, like, I'm less excited about these as I am the black series of the 6-inch lines, which they don't show many of these. They talked about them. But the black series Stormtrooper helmet, I think, is really my standout on this.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm really getting a big kick out of the fact that the black series is doing life-size, full-size helmets, and that is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, no, but I'll tell you know what jumps out to me the most, and it's not because of the toy, it's just the actual reveal, and that is this Hasbro 2-pack for Rogue One that has, one, a Scarif Stormtrooper squad leader, which is super cool. I already really like the beach troopers, so to speak, the Scarif troopers.
Yeah.
But the 2-pack, the other one is this Rebel soldier. I assume Rebel, maybe not, but he's called Moroff.
Yeah, he looks like a whippet almost.
He does. He's got kind of, he's like a cross between a whippet and a wampa. Like he's this super fuzzy creature, but he's got this super
Wookiee, Riley. Exactly. I'm looking at him. I'm thinking like he's got like the Darth Malak thing. Like maybe he's got his jaws been cut.
He's
off,
got a breathing mask of some kind. Yeah, and most important, he has these amazing like dual mounted submachine gun type things that are attached to this backpack. It looks like a cross between a flamethrower and it's like someone welded E-11 blasters onto a flamethrower. That's what it looks like. And that is super cool. It's sort of like, it's been a lot of these small things with Rogue One. I don't know why. It's like the space monkey, right? That little laugh that we saw in the behind the scenes reel. Like that was one of the things that jumped out to me the most. And I really like some of the character designs for these things. Because often, I'll admit, I'm one of those Star Wars fans that watched The Force Awakens and I was like, I wanted some Bith or some Rodians or something. Or where's some Hammerheads? Because there was
still a Bothan in the flesh, man.
Well, exactly. So I do like the traditional Star Wars aliens. I do miss them sometimes. But I will say this, like the new designs and a lot of the Rogue One stuff, particularly this one, do jump out to me a lot. I really do like the look.
The pack looks really cool, but what concerns me is like when you scroll down and you see Poe Dameron, he's got a very similar one. So I'm worried that this is just like the generic toy that comes with it, that there's no actual weapon.
Oh, no, he does. He does totally. I didn't think about that.
The guy in me is going like, but does it count?
Yeah.
Or is it just a toy that turns into something else that we're like, hey, look, it's a 3-in-1 weapon. Like, no, it's not. They're not going to use this in the film. I don't want this. Then I look at the Death Tripper one, and he's got one that goes over his head. Not as cool looking at all. But yeah, I kind of wonder, like, I'm with you. If that guy is walking around with that thing, I think that's going to be an impressive looking character. But I worry about the Poe Dameron having the same thing. I'm just like, I worry that that's just the gun model type thing that they're throwing into the pack to kind of make it.
Yeah, they do look kind of similar. They do look kind of similar, but that's.
But the Scarif Stormtrooper, though, even at 5 points of articulation with the comma belt that he's got going on, hanging down the back, I like the nods to the Clone Wars. I like the nods to the Clone Troopers. They still have just enough paint and stuff. Because, I mean, keep in mind, that's something, I don't know, Jeremy, if that's something that bothered you, but the fact that we get Stormtroopers that are in all white, and we had the prequels with all these glorious color motifs and stuff with the Troopers, I want some in-universe kind of story as to why they stepped that back. Mm-hmm. Or maybe give us some more, you know, images and stuff from that time period. And Rogue One is the perfect example where we do have some of these people wearing some of those traditional colors, and maybe give us a reason why they're phasing that out. You know, like, well, we don't want anyone knowing who the soldiers are or who the officers are, and it became a little obvious, you know, something like that. I don't know about you, man.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah,
I'm good with the, I don't really need an explanation. It's just the, in case they were limited resources in the original trilogy, and then.
Well, and I think particularly, I don't know. I think that'd be interesting. But I will say this though, that's not the only Rogue One stuff that we have to talk about, because Mark, there's more. And Mark, you totally turned me on to this. It's the Rogue One trailer. It's the Rogue One trailer with the Friends theme song. Guys, I'm going to play just a little bit of this. The best part about this thing, Mark, is the fact that the AT-AT gets its own credit.
Oh, that was the one that I was critiquing. I'm like, it's AT-ATC or AT-AT.
Oh. The AT-ACT.
Oh, get one job and just name the ship. No, I really like Baze or Blaze's part. I'm like, oh my god, when they started doing a part of their character name, I'm like, this is too much. I wasn't expecting this to be as funny as it was. I was like, okay, yeah, this is great. This is some good tongue in cheek right here.
Yeah, created by Ryan Johnson and Chris Weitz. So, which is totally not true because it's Rogue One. It's or maybe Ryan Johnson, not the director Ryan Johnson. Maybe that's the person who made the video, YouTube video. that's amazing. I do love the remix culture, man. I love the fact that whenever there's a new trailer, there's automatically another version of that trailer, right? Like someone did the Rogue One trailer in the style of the Suicide Squad trailer.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one yet. There's been a lot more. I don't know. It seems like there's a bigger push. Like, as things are hitting TV, it seems like once it's hit TV, then it becomes more lax and you see it splashed across the internet. But it seems like there's a lot more TV spots hitting. You know, like there's like one scene or two scenes or scenes placed in a new direction where it seems new. You know, and I'm kind of like, I think I've already reached that point where like, I don't want anything new, but I know that the addict in me is like, oh, what's this? And I'm gonna do it. So like, I don't know, I'm trying to avoid as many, but and then I watch something like this and I'm like, oh, that's classic good fun.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's true. Well, speaking of trailers, I feel like I've got to highlight this. Mark, I don't think the audio is going to come through to you, but I want to play it for the people listening to the podcast because, man, there's this new fan trailer called Kenobi, A Star Wars Story. And oh, it's so good. What this guy did was he took footage from this new Ewan McGregor film.
Yeah, Last Days in the Desert.
The Last Days in the Desert, where Ewan McGregor portrays Jesus during his 40 days in the wilderness. And you know what the wilderness looks an awful lot like? Tatooine. So, of course, you had to do the remix. I'll play it. Exactly. Hashtag it's Tatooine. Let me just play a brief excerpt here.
Gives you the opportunity to see yourself for who you are.
Wow.
It's the thing that swallows you.
And I've seen some great memes, too, on
it
Facebook.
Holds you together
about
that. While it's tearing you.
Have you seen our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And it showed Kenobi as Kenobi. And I was like, oh, somebody did. But clearly it was a knock.
This, you want to be worth it.
This is... Wow. I'm
powerful.
Good use of Owen and Beru.
And just really, really well done. There they cut like a Star Destroyer over the desert where he's walking there. It's really good.
That was slick.
We will include it. Yep. It's pretty visual. So we'll definitely include a link. We'll definitely include a link in the show notes for this week's episode, episode 237, to make sure that you guys get that because watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah, brings John Jackson Miller's Kenobi to the forefront of your mind if you read that book.
Exactly.
Like, ah, that's so cool.
Exactamente. I also I wanted to touch base on a kind of a feel-good story again. It's a tradition that's carried on. It's kind of sad, but it's actually, you know, it's really cool that Gareth Edwards has continued this tradition. So there's a terminally ill Star Wars fan who did a petition to see Rogue One, and he did. He successfully was able. Neil Hanvey was able to see Rogue One last Saturday after this worldwide campaign that he launched, and he got all kinds of big celebrity backers who are really supporting it. It was hashtag Rogue One Wish, and he has since passed away, sadly, but not before he did actually get his opportunity.
So I wanted to talk about this. Like, I didn't, when we first put this on the show notes, I didn't think it was something we wanted to talk about, you know, because being a death is a negative thing and all. But I, you know, like you said, the uplifting aspect of it. My mother-in-law just died of lung cancer, and she did not get to watch Star Trek Beyond. And she's a geek. I got her into geeky stuff. She likes Star Wars. She wasn't too happy with Han dying, of course. Spoiler alert! Sorry, oh my God, I can't believe it. and so, you know, like, so she's been into Lord of the Rings, you know, huge Lord of the Rings, but she never goes to the movie theater. She was one of those types. She's very private, very homebody is what she would put it, introverted, super. And so, like, she never got that chance to go and see Star Trek Beyond. And I was really bummed by that and the fact Rogue One's coming and stuff. And the fact that they do this, you know, I've heard people out there that cry, oh, it's a gimmick, this, that, and the other thing. Not necessarily with what's going on with Neil or with the other people, but there have been people that are like, oh, these people, they don't have it. But I like the fact that the directors, the Lucasfilm people, they're taking into consideration that not everybody on the earth today is going to be here in December when these movies come out. And they recognize the fact that Star Wars is something that transcends dates and times. You know, yeah, it's coming out in December, blah, blah, blah. But these people are not going to be here. Let's make this happen. Let's share this love with them while they're still here. And I think that there's something just completely magical about that. And that's all I have to say. I like the fact that they are doing that and they're continuing to do that. That's something that I think is just really special. And I think even though it's special for the person that's sitting there in the hospice care that's losing their lives, I think it's also awesome for the family members, the ones that are around that can say, you know, hey, look what Lucasfilm did for my, you know, my loved one.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some power there, and there's something about, you know, something telling of our fandom and the fact that, you know, we talk about the powers to be and stuff like, oh, there's this mystical group of, you know, like,
they could come down on us any minute for playing their Star Wars music.
But at the end of the day, they're still doing heartfelt gestures like this. Like, and that just warms me about our fandom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I really like the demonstration. And I think it's hard because that's just the reality, is that what's likely at this point, right, is the fact that none of us are going to live to see all the Star Wars films, right? Like, this is the new reality of the fact that they're going to be carrying these things on for generations. Yeah. And that's just that's the new reality. So yeah, it is kind of tough, but also I think so important to talk about. I think I'll just leave it this way. Like, always go see the new Star Wars movie with your friends. Like, it seems kind of trite to say, but choose wisely and make that time count. One of my good Star Wars friends, I don't really even know how to transition, but this is actually, there is something, we do have some good news. There's something kind of exciting going on, at least not, of course not in Georgia or Oregon, but in California, we have a Star Wars pop-up cantina this is a thing. Reported on Nerdist by our good friend Amy Ratcliffe, if you could spend an evening anywhere in Star Wars, well, it probably would be the cantina. And now, evidently, these dreams are coming true. The cantina is coming to Hollywood this winter. It's basically a pop-up dining bar experience within a totally immersive environment. They've got food, they've got drink, they've got music. You reserve soon. You can go to... I don't have the website listed here. Come on. I know. That's I can't. There is a website for it that I don't have here in front of me. Say again?
It's scumandvillainy.com.
Thank you.
Scumandvillainycantina.com.
Thank you. So scumandvillainycantina.com. Check it out. In fact, involved with the planning process is our good friend JC Reifenberg, has actually been doing some work on this. Is super, super, super cool. And I won't get to do it. Actually, you know, there is a chance. Like, Bethany and I have been talking about, how do we want to do Rogue One? How do we want to see it? So we did the grand road trip last year. And so now we have to decide, like, in the words of Gandalf, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that's given to us. Mm-hmm. Which means like we have to decide where we want to see Rogue One. Because I like the idea of... I think that we know enough people out in California that Bethany and I are talking, it might be a fun little trip to actually to fly out and visit some folks and then maybe make a vacation out of it and then go see the new Rogue One movie. So maybe we will get to see this cantina. That would be kind of cool.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the fact that, you know, we've got Disneyland, they're doing the Star Wars land, and what better way to kind of get some practice? You know, you can set this up, let the people see, you know, kind of run through some of the ideas that you have that you're going to do at Disney. I just think that would be a cool way for them to play it. And I like the idea. I would love to see like a Starbucks, you know, brand, like a Scum and Villainy Cantina coffee shop spread out everywhere, where every town has their own little Star Wars hangout. I'd like to have one
where everybody knows your name, you could say, Mark.
Yeah, kind of like.
And lastly, we want John Boyega on the podcast. That's all. No, actually, he tweeted out this week that he was, quote, adding additional podcast interviews for my promo tour for episode 8. Where to go? And actually, we had a couple people reply and say Star Wars Report. So I'm sure there are way more popular shows that he will be going on. But that's cool of him. I'm glad to see that they're actually the fact that he might actually go on podcasts. That's amazing. I think that is fantastic news.
I know. I had to tweet him. I'm like, we'll even let you have a whole episode. You can come on and the whole thing.
I saw that, Mark. That was very generous of you. That was very generous of you.
I'll step out if I have to. No, I won't. I'll be
yes. Oh my goodness, guys. We are trucking along. And trucking along because we're here each and every week for folks like Jeremy, right? Who support this fine podcast on patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Oh, Jabba. Guys, I just take any excuse I can to play that song. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the folks who support us over at Patreon.com/StarWarsReport are the ones who make this show happen each and every week. You can check out all kinds of cool bonus content, as well as our exclusive patron RSS feed and website that we have for you guys who support us. It's a way of giving you access to some bonus content and thanking you for making this show happen. We do appreciate your support. Again, if you want to check out things like the Star Wars Report t-shirt, as well as all kinds of other cool bonus content, like, I don't know, showing up on the show. you can actually go over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's so much fun.
Can't help but sing along, man. It's so
seriously, Jeremy, thanks so much. We appreciate you guys, you who support us. So, Jeremy, thanks so much. You're on the show this week, so I actually can thank you in person.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Awesome. I feel like we're missing something. Oh yes, we've got Dragon Con. Oh, see, Dragon Con sounder. I need a Dragon Con sounder. You know what I could use?
Game of Thrones.
Welcome to Dragon Con. No, all right. No.
like, you need to be doing something with Game of Thrones. Like, you got dragons, Dragon Con.
Oh, that's true. Bum, bum, ba da bum, bum, ba da Dragon Con. We're on an insane amount of panels. Do, 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 do. All right.
Star Wars Report.
Nice.
Dragon Con, Con, Dragon Con.
Dragon Con, Con, Dragon Con, Con. All right. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you guys the rundown, but the absolute number one thing you need to remember right now is that you need to be following at Star Wars Report and at The Riley Guy and at Bethany L. Blanton. Those are the three Twitter accounts that will primarily be on the ground tweeting each of these events as we go. I've got the times. I don't have all the locations here, but I do have the times and panels that we're going to be on. If you're going to Dragon Con and you are at one of these panels, it is your responsibility. It is your duty as a patriot it's your duty to come up and say hi afterwards. We love saying hi to folks. So if you're listening to this, don't be shy. If you're at any of the panels that we're on or hosting or a part of, come up and say hi afterwards. We always hang out for a few minutes, and it's always a blast as well. Just make sure to come and say hi. I was not able to just because for logistic reasons. Sorry?
Right. If they're feeling ornery, they should give you Jackson ears. And if you don't know what that is, it's the peace sign behind Riley's head in the picture like a photo bomb. Jackson hashtag ears. Jackson ears, just so I can have something fun to laugh about.
Friday, so all right, here we go. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this weekend as you're listening to this podcast. Friday at 2:30 is the Rogue One panel. That's Bethany moderating. I'm a panelist. 5:30 Friday is Star Wars Rebels with Henry Gilroy. That's Bethany and Bruce.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, like the Rogue One and Episode 8 panel and the Rebels panel on Friday. We're part of it. Saturday, The Force Awakens and New Canon. That's Bruce. He's going to be kind of reviewing The Force Awakens and some of the new material that's come out. He'll be on the panel there. And then at 7 p.m. Saturday is the live performance of Shakespeare's The Phantom of Menace, Shakespeare's Star Wars. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, Bruce is playing Qui-Gon Jinn. Oh, don't you know? I don't know why I said don't you know. That's a Minnesota thing. I need a Qui-Gon Jinn. Anakin! Trump! That'll be Bruce. But you know what? I will be playing, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're thinking, oh, it must be Obi-Wan. Or, oh, you know, Riley does he could do Kitster, right? That's so Wizard Annie. No. I'm playing royalty, ladies and gentlemen. I'm playing, and by royalty, I don't mean Padme Amidala. I mean, I am playing Boss Nass in the live performance of Shakespeare.
Dues are cannot be here.
That's exactly what the panel moderator will probably say after I get up and start doing. I will be you shall think and you shall greater than the Gungans. I'm getting ready. So that'll be me. I'm very excited about this. This is the first year they've done this a couple years in a row. This is the first year I'm a part of it, and it's appropriate because it's, you know, it's the Phantom Menace. So that's Saturday. Sunday, we've got the new characters we already love panel at 10 a.m. That's Bruce. 11:30 Sunday. This is my big time to not screw things up. I'm hosting solo. I'm moderating the an hour with Star Wars Rebels actor Jason Isaacs. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what's going to happen, guys, is that room is going to be packed with Harry Potter fans, and I have to know my crap. Like, I have to have my stuff together. So I'm busy prepping. I got to be able to do it because I've hosted panels before with Star Wars actors. I've never hosted an entire hour with one other person, and so this will be kind of interesting. I hope it works out. So that's probably the one I'm most nervous about, but we'll be fine. We're fine.
We're all fine.
How are you? And then finally, so that's Sunday, 11:30 in the morning. Then Sunday evening at 5:30, it's the military and politics of Star Wars. It's the military and politics of Star Wars with myself and Bethany, and we'll be on with like actual, I don't know, active duty officers from different military branches. And then that's at 5:30. And then lastly, I feel it. Hang on. I need to take a drink of water. All right, now ready. Lastly, we've got Monday morning is collecting in the Star Wars universe. That's Michael Morris and his wife Christy from Cloud City Casino. They'll be collecting. And Monday, 11:30 in the morning, it's the Han Solo Forever panel. And capping off the entire convention for the last full panel at the Star Wars track in the Star Wars room, it's the music of Star Wars. I'm actually moderating and hosting that panel. I'm preparing the slides and music now. That's going to be one that I'm putting a lot of time in because I want to do a really solid presentation, something that's so good that that I can present it there and maybe even, who knows, other places as well. There's going to be a lot of great panelists on that as well.
Make sure Bethany is live streaming that one so I can sit my son Gavin down and he can look.
Yes, for you guys who don't know, Gavin definitely was could we say, Mark, could we say being a little snippy? Being a little...
Oh, he was little total teen. He had a total teen choice moment there. I was
contrarian?
Like, oh, he was telling me Suicide Squad was better than The Force Awakens. And I was like, okay, why?
And then I was all like,
wait, what? It's got better music. I'm like, it's got John Williams. John Williams. I'm like, oh my God. Are you kidding? I had to do a live stream where I was like, I had even put the live stream away. I was like, all right, we're sick and Riley on you. We are sick and Riley on you.
Yeah, I it's all lost. It's a lost cause. He's at that age, man. I don't know that I can help you.
That's probably more truth to that than I care to admit.
Well, and I will say this, though. That John Williams panel is going to be a lot of fun. And all I can say is when I heard that he preferred Suicide Squad, I just in the back of my mind, I heard, That's my Jared
Leto.
He wanted
that for my ringtone. He was looking for that. I'm like, dude, you know I'm more the...
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. All right. I think, goodness, we've got... I'm not going to delay. Let's jump into Boba's Bounty.
Worth a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it. You love it. It's Boba's Bounty. Each week we talk about something we've done, read, experienced, watched, listened to, enjoyed, or otherwise come in contact with in the world of Star Wars. That's Boba's Bounty. Mark, what sort of booty have you come up with this week? Ooh, can we change the... Guys, I want to change the segment name to Boba's Booty. Can that, be a thing?
It's supposed to be like Hondo's, like...
Boba's Booty just sounds... I feel like that's a dance move. All right. I'll stop. Mark, what you got for us this week?
What that is a Mandalorian joke where the rest of the Mandalorians are like, "Hey guys, did you hear Boba had a daughter? Oh, we're calling it Boba's Bounty. Is it Boba's Beauty?" Oh! Like they're all like snickering, and Boba's like, "Don't make me kill you." For me, I ran across Ahsoka. I talked about that before. Got the advanced review copy. Then to me.
Yes. Have you finished it?
Jumped out. No, I'm halfway through it. Like I said, the Haunted House kind of snuck up on me and is taking some of my time. I want to get through this book, though. I am just, every time I get a hold of it, I get reading it, I just don't want to put it down. And to keep the spoiler free, because I know how Michael Morris hates when I spoil things. So I liked that while I'm reading this, it has a very John Jackson Miller Kenobi feel. And what I mean by that is the way Kenobi gave us a look at to what Ben was doing as he ditched the Obi-Wan persona and became Ben, we're getting a similar glimpse with Ahsoka as she is kind of trying to figure out what she should be doing in her place in the galaxy. I like the similarities, but what I really appreciate with this book versus what we got with Kenobi, though... Kenobio, that sounds fun. It is that we know where she's going to end up, whereas like with Kenobi, like he didn't go anywhere, you know. It was like really hard fit adventures in, whereas with Ahsoka, it's like it's wide open. We just know eventually she's going to become Fulcrum, so it's like she could do anything. She could leave the planet she's on, where Kenobi was kind of just bound to that one planet. So I'm really kind of getting a kick out of following her, and I'm digging the interludes, the way they kind of go back into the past, more to the time of Order 66 and fill in the backstory of that and move the story forward at the same time. Like, I don't know, I've never heard of E.K. Johnson before, but she just, I'm really digging her stuff. And honestly, across the new canon, the lady authors are really bringing the A game.
Nice. Is this at all related to the Ahsoka panel at Celebration? I was not there, but like the descriptions of some of the final yes. moments of the
good chunk of what Filoni had planned for Ahsoka got retooled into this book. Some of what they had planned for her had to be shelved. But yeah, I mean, because they talked about, you know, even going back to Celebration Anaheim, where Filoni was talking about what it would be like when Rex doesn't shoot. you know, that moment he doesn't shoot, he becomes a traitor, and therefore he's also on the chopping block kind of thing. So, like, there's all those angles of things that they put in motion to us, the fans, that you can see in the writing. They're like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing with that. Okay, slick.
Yeah. Sweet. Nice. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Jeremy, I can defer to you or go if either way. You ready to roll?
Yeah, I recently got the Celebration Rogue One poster.
Nice.
That is a score.
That was I remember when you're talking about the you're talking about the one at Europe, right?
Yeah.
So, because I remember seeing that, and it was interesting because they really played up the beach look. Like, it looks like something that could have been taken in the Caribbean. I thought that was an interesting way to go about it. But yeah, no. Have you been to
I just got Palmas in my head. Rogue One, Darth Vader, and
I feel like I wish I had that actual song. No, that's true. And I bet that's, ladies and gentlemen, not only they do put the announcements and trailers online pretty quickly after some of these big panels, but that is one nice cool thing about them is that they do give you exclusives. I'm going to totally toot my own horn here. But toot toot. I was actually there when they handed out the posters, and I did get one, but I forgot to get a second one. So I gave mine to Bethany since she didn't get there till late that night. Because I'm an awesome brother. I don't know if it counts anymore though, because now I bragged about it. So I don't know if that's
How did you get your hands on one?
Oh, me? eBay.
When all else fails.
Tag on a vintage Celebration Europe Rogue One poster. Go for it, guys.
Well, I did it with the Struzan last year, and
okay, and I never got that. See, yeah, I so badly wanted that. That was the D23, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, for me, my big Star Wars experience this week has literally been just freaking out about Dragon Con, because literally, it's right around the corner. I still got tons of prep to do for the panels I'm on, but we're all gonna be fine. We're all fine. But I will say this. I think specifically, though, what I want to actually highlight is pseudo Star Wars. And I think this is the pre-Star Wars. We watched last night The Seahawk, which is this great 1940 film. I forget the name of the director, but it's the guy who directed Casablanca. He directed White Christmas. He did, of course, The Seahawk and The Adventures of Robin Hood. A lot of big swashbuckling films of the 1940s. And you may ask, Riley, what does this have to do with Star Wars? In the parlance of the Simpsons commercial, come on, talk about Star Wars. But it does have something to do with Star Wars, because this is the exact type of film that both George Lucas and John Williams valued enormously. In fact, George Lucas was a big fan of the 40s and 50s swashbucklers. And it's got this big, rousing score by Erich Kohnberg, who was an influence of John Williams, and you can hear it. In fact, you kind of hear the birth of the modern movie score as we know it today in some of these old films, you know, like Lawrence of Arabia or something like that, or even Bridge on the River Kwai, because of course everyone's thinking about that because of Rian Johnson's name dropping some of these films, and so like in Bridge on the River Kwai, you have the famous da-dum, da, 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 you know, the famous song that they whistle in The Parent Trap too, but specifically for this one, it's just this sort of, it's a great film, and I think there's this gap often between generations where, what's the phrase I'm looking for, I don't know. There's this gap between generations that when it comes to Star Wars, I think people always associate it with the qualities of the birth of the blockbuster in the 80s. And they think of big scores as E.T. and Indiana Jones. And that's all true. But there was an era of filmmaking that really inspired it that I feel like a lot of people who are kids of the 80s A lot of people who, mostly the ones who listen to this podcast, and that for you guys who read the website and stuff, like that's an important thing. So I think that's something that hopefully we can explore more as we go on.
1940s, right? In the 1940s, we didn't have the internet. But what's the one thing that goes on today with the internet? You've got the pulse, you know, the pop culture moment, you know, the this happened on this day and we all know about it because we were all paying attention. But if you weren't plugged into the internet, you had no clue. We have something similar like that in 1940s. It was called people just were out farming. You know, they weren't watching these things. So could you imagine like the people that were actually paying attention, they were going to the movies, they were like, oh my God, this is great. But you've got like the farmer out in Kansas that's never seen this movie, has no care, no desire. It has nothing to do with Betsy, who he's got to get up at 5 a.m. and milk. You know, like the word you were looking for, and you were all over it, is a generation gap. And yet sometimes that generation gap is caused by our culture. And I think about, you know, like this movie set 1940, and I think about what was going on in the 40s, and I'm sure that there are huge swaths of Americans that just never got around to getting a chance to see some of these films. And then next thing you know, they had kids, they had grandkids, and you know, like for me, like I've heard of Errol Flynn, but Seahawk, I've never heard of this film before. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, this actually seems pretty interesting here.
Yeah, but it's a great movie, too. Yeah,
that's the generation gap of like, well, clearly my family wasn't plugged in at the time. We were too busy up on a hill building a house out of logs.
Exactly. But that, I think, Mark, you're a good case study. I think, Mark, have you ever watched Bridge on the River Kwai?
No, that's another one that everybody's
Lawrence,
talking about.
Lawrence of Arabia? Like,
no, I haven't.
No.
No Lawrence of Arabia. How about... what's it called? I can't think of it now. 12 O'Clock High? Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Nope. See, this is the thing. Like, these are great films that like informed George Lucas as a creative that everyone, that seems like a huge generation of people that love George Lucas don't know anything about. I feel like this needs to be a thing. We need to highlight these films more. Hopefully we'll get Brian Young on the podcast soon to talk about, because he does the Cinema and Star Wars column at StarWars.com. And I think he'd be great to kind of go through some of these movies in the future. But that's another thing for another time. Gentlemen, unfortunately, we are getting towards that time where we come to the end of this week's program. Another week, another Star Wars Report episode in the can. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We really appreciate everyone who's jumped on board. And, of course, Jeremy, thanks for joining us, and thanks for supporting us over at Patreon. We appreciate it, sir.
It's no problem.
Awesome. Seriously, dude, like you and everybody who supports the show makes an enormous difference for us being able to do this each and every week. Again, make sure you go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport and check out some of the cool bonuses we've got there. We appreciate it. Also, make sure that you are following us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report, at The Riley Guy, and at Bethany L. Blanton. Those are the big three, of course. And at Admiral_Rex for Bruce Gibson, our producer, who will be on the ground. All kinds of stuff that that you'll see. And in fact, well, Mark, if you don't mind, when you get the notes ready to roll, I'm going to go ahead and actually have you include our schedule here so that people can kind of reference it in the show notes for episode 237. If you guys want to go through what we're a part of, and of course you can download the DragonCon app and you go to the Star Wars track, and you'll see a lot of the stuff we're involved in. Ooh, oh me, oh my. We had some feedback. We'll have to move it to next week, but if you want to jump in on that, make sure StarWarsReport@gmail.com, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And let's see, what else? Oh yeah, of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. And make sure that you leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. It takes you straight to the iTunes store, where you can get the word out. Helps people hear about the show and much more. Make sure you go to, again, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Leave a rating or review. It really helps us out. And, Mark, of course, you can be found at Illogical Rogue, too.
This is true.
And you just rhymed. Electric Boogaloo. And also, Jeremy, are you on the social media? Can folks hit you up anywhere online?
Yeah, I'm Darth MacFisto on Instagram and Twitter.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, sir, fire off those links to us and we'll get them in the show notes.
And on Facebook.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Look me there. And it's facebook.com/JeremyBurtsArt.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, there. And definitely get us the links to that. And we'll include those links, Jeremy, in the show notes this week as well. Appreciate it, sir. And again, thank you so much for your support. It makes a whole world of difference. Join us next week when, I don't know, we actually record live from the floor of Dragon Con. That won't be a panel, but we will be recording from Dragon Con. In fact, expect daily updates for the patrons. So and so that you guys know that we did this during celebration. So make sure you hop on now. It's a very low entry, and we do daily updates, and we've got of course our ongoing Rebels commentaries and some top secret plans for a new Patreon series that we're working on as well. That'll also be featured on the main show. So never fear. But that does it for this week. Thanks for listening. Remember, may the Force be with you and. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Guys, I can't help it. Oh, Jabba. All right, now we can officially end it. Well done, gentlemen. Another one in the can. Let me stop our recorder here. Ooh, all right.